Hey, Daddy, how come you're always on that computer? You don't know how to use it.
Yes, I do. See? www.churchline.com.
Hey, that's the website I go to all the time.
What do you know about churchline.com?
It's an online Bible study source for me.
Really? You finally took my advice?
You can say that. I can find general information about what's going on in and around my church community.
Yeah, I really love the A-Word devotionals they send, and I can even add information to the online church calendar.
Dad, have you ever used their advertising and business directory services?
Yes, and my phone did ring.
There goes a call now.
I gotta go. Hello, churchline.com. Can I help you?
This commercial has been brought to you by www.churchline.com.
Your online church connection. Greetings, and welcome to another version of Technology for the Kingdom. This is your host, Sydney Burton from churchline.com. Let's take a moment to pray before we start today's program. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to come together, Lord, in your will to do your work here, even on earth. We pray, Lord, that you would empower us, Lord, to speak clearly and precisely what you would have your people to hear. We thank you for the opportunities, Lord, again, to just come to these microphones to give you the glory and the honor through this program, Lord, Kingdom, about technology that will help edify your people in your church here on earth. Father, use us in a mighty and a powerful way. Get the glory out of this broadcast today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Good morning, or I should say greetings, and welcome to Technology for the Kingdom. Today we have the privilege of being here with a brother by the name of Bill Mooney McCoy. Bill Mooney McCoy. How would you like to be called, Bill?
Just Bill.
Bill. Bill is the director of an initiative called Safe Families. Safe Families is a ministry organization home-based in Boston, Massachusetts, that really speaks to the needs of the internet community to help make it more of a safe environment for families and for youth and for seniors and all users alike, with a strong emphasis on making it safe for Christians and to spread the word. And that's my little interpretation, but I'm going to let Bill himself tell us a little bit about what Safe Families is. What is Safe Families? What's your little blurb on Safe Families?
All right, Sydney. Safe Families has two primary concerns. One is, as you said, looking at what we need to do to keep kids and teenagers and children safe on the internet from online pornography, from predators, from cyberbullying, some of the other dangers that are on that they can get involved with in the internet. The second aspect that we're concerned with is the whole issue of pornography addiction, particularly among adults and teens. And we want to give people resources to know how to keep themselves clean, how to keep themselves from falling into the traps that are available out there. So those are the two main priorities we have.
How long has Safe Families been in existence?
We're at about 2 years now. We've been going at this. It's started sometime in April, I think, 2005. And so we're coming on to a little bit more than 2 years.
Now, Safe Families, is that part of another ministry organization, or is that a standalone ministry?
Safe Families is one of the programs that Tech Mission has. Tech Mission has several different programs that are all committed to our three values, which is Jesus, justice, and technology. Mm-hmm. Jesus in that we are a Christian organization and our values are coming from the Word of God. Justice in that we have a priority of serving urban communities, at-risk communities, communities that are under-resourced. And then technology in that we want to use technological tools to help advance the kingdom.
That sounds good. I think you're right at home here. This is good news for me to hear. One of the reasons that we do this program is we share also that same vision that we have all of this technology. The Lord has given us these resources. He's created everything. Everything belongs to him. And as being stewards of what he's given us, we really need to not just sit back and watch things happen with it. We need to be those who are actually using it to really for the building of his kingdom.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it seems that secular organizations and secular businesses they take the bull by the horns and they're driving it down the street and we're getting run over by it. we really have to be the ones that are driving this cart also to undo a lot of the damage that's been done and to prepare people to be safe from it.
Yes, right.
And really be users of it instead of being used by it. Could you tell me a little bit about, I know it's a challenge for me. I have two young daughters and it's from the time they were born, they pretty much had computers in their bedrooms. And that seemed to be all right. They'd use them for their homework. And then at one point it seemed like things started to change. They began this emailing, they began chatting,
yep,
and text messaging. Could you tell me a bit about, we might as well jump right into it, what are some of the dangers as you see it for youth in using computers and using the internet?
There are a few different things. First of all, I do want to say that the pros far outweigh the cons, and it is mm-hmm. really important mm-hmm. that kids have access to technology, access to the web.
Yep.
It's important for their educational needs. It's important for their social development because that is now the language of society,
yep.
and it'll put them at a distinct disadvantage to not be web savvy and not be technologically up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, some of the dangers that we're concerned with are inappropriate access to sites that are just not meant for children's eyes,
mm-hmm.
particularly pornography, but there are other things that are also just very much adults only. That's one of the biggest concerns. Another one is access to predators and other people who would be potentially harmful for kids to get to be connected to.
Yep.
There are issues like what we call cyberbullying, which is where people are abusing each other online or being disrespectful or even hurtful to each other, just as they could be in so-called real life. They can also do that online as easily. And there's also things like phishing, which is where unscrupulous people get information, personal information, use that for financial gain. There's a variety of different things like that. And we try to give parents strategies how to combat each one of those things.
Now, I think we all heard a little bit about pornography on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be, the stereotype where you have an adult mm-hmm. Male using the internet to go to sites that present them with material and content that they wouldn't necessarily do in public or with
their
family
right.
when they get into privacy of their own little space there on the internet. And we've heard a little bit about predators,
mm-hmm.
People that seem to target people on the other end of the computer when they gain certain information about contacting
That's
them
right.
and so forth and taking advantage of those who are unaware. You know, and that's something that I want to hear a little bit about. What is it that we can do to help keep our youth safer from predators? From mm-hmm. Let's look at it first, I think, from a parent's
sure.
perspective.
Okay, there's several steps, and actually on our website, which is safefamilies.org,
mm-hmm.
we have a little tab for parents, and we have some rules, safety rules for parents. One of the first things we suggest is that you get some kind of an internet filter.
Yep.
Now, this is a piece of software that runs on your computer that basically says, looks at each website that someone wants to go to and says, you can come in, you can come in, you can't come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it attempts to sort out and to filter out those sites that you don't want your children to be having access to. Most filters will allow you to have different degrees of filtering.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, an adult might want to be able to have freedom to look at anything they wanted to.
Yes.
Whereas you would not want your elementary school kid looking at certain sites, and then there may be sites that you would feel your teenager can see but your little child can't.
Mm-hmm.
Most filters will allow you to have several different degrees of that, or even users that have certain profiles. But either way, we feel like for children,
mm-hmm.
a filter is absolutely the first line of defense. It is not the only line of defense, but it is a beginning. So that's one of the things we recommend.
Now, our filters, is this something that you subscribe to, that you get through your internet service provider, or is it something that you, a software that you buy and you install yourself, or how are some of the ways that people can, the types of filters that they can utilize?
There are a lot of options you have. For Windows Vista, for example, it now comes with built-in filtering, and you can actually use the Windows Vista software to help you install that. It's not simple to set up, but it is available there.
Mm-hmm.
There are also commercial products that are available for different variety of different prices, and some of them have yearly subscriptions that you have to keep paying for because the new site's coming up every day.
Right.
However, we at Safe Families felt like it wasn't really fair to ask people to have to pay for a filter.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a right that everybody has to have access to. You don't have to pay to not have a cigarette vending machine in your house. And so we felt like it was the same kind of thing, that you shouldn't have to pay for that. So we have a free internet filter that's available, again, at safefamilies.org.
Okay.
It's called WeBlocker, and it is available right now for XP and for other versions of Windows. It is unfortunately not available yet for the Mac.
Mm.
And we are working on a version with Vista that's not available yet. But for those of you who have a machine that has those operating systems, you can download that for free. There also are filtering options available for many subscriptions. AOL has a filter. Mm-hmm. Most of your large internet providers will have some kind of available options as well. And if you have questions, you can get in touch with us at info@safefamilies.org, and we can try to help you with that. We also have a page on our website that talks about filtering. And software tools is what it's called. So you can look for more information on that.
Now, how important, I mean, that's really good information. Another point I need to know on that, does that also give you the ability, you did mention that you have different levels that you can set for different users. Is this mm-hmm. something that you have to put on each machine in your house if you have more than one machine, or is it something that goes between your internet service provider and all of the machines, or how does that work?
For the most part, if you're in a home situation, it's going to have to be by each machine.
Okay.
So you'll need to install that on each. If you're in an organization, there are products that are available that work on the entire server and would take care of every machine that's on your network. And I guess if you really wanted to be ambitious, you could do that on a home network as well.
Now, is this product, that, especially the one that Technician developed, WeBlocker, mm-hmm. is that something that on organizations and businesses can use, or is it just something for private consumers?
Anybody could use it. Okay. We want anybody to feel free to use it. It's not the most robust product in the world, and if you had a very complex system or if you had very sophisticated users, you'd probably want something different, but
mm-hmm.
it is available for free for anybody to use at any time.
I think we'll give that a try, so we all should hear that. WeBlocker is something that Bill recommends from Safe Families. It's a free product. You can get that right there on their website, safefamilies.org. And you can also reach them at info.
Mm-hmm. Info at Technician. I'm sorry, info@safefamilies.org.
All right. Tell me a little bit about, we discussed blockers
mm-hmm.
for helping to keep unwanted content out of your machines. But what's the difference between like content blockers, like these types of filters, and spyware or viruses? I mean, what does a typical antivirus program make any difference in the middle of all of this?
Well, some of the programs like Norton or McAfee include not only spyware and virus, but they also include content filtering, depending again on which option you get. And this might especially be good for an organization. They could actually get what's called a whole suite,
okay.
which would include all the security needs that you might have, which includes antivirus, spyware, things like watching out for what's called phishing, which is where unscrupulous people will try to get personal information. And often those include content filtering as well.
I'm going to ask you this question. It might not be exactly your area of expertise, but what is the difference between spyware, adware, and pop-ups? Because we hear a lot about those. I know that there's viruses that you need to be concerned about stopping those attacks on your computer systems mm-hmm. from unwanted programs, and Trojans that are programs mm-hmm. like viruses that just sit on the system and wait for a certain time to begin to do their thing. And then there's spyware and adware. And we hear about that. What is spyware and adware?
Those are all different degrees of intrusive programs that are installed on your computer without you asking for them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they're doing is allowing unscrupulous people to have access to finding out information about what you're doing or what you're interested in trying to target you, whether overtly or covertly,
mm-hmm.
and just to get information about what you're doing and try to take advantage of that. They could also eventually slow down your system. They will mm-hmm. often have an impact on your performance, and in some cases can be really destructive to your hard drive.
Okay. And I think pop-ups is, what's pop-ups?
Pop-ups are those windows that just show up out of nowhere when you didn't ask for them.
Hmm.
And they can be very annoying. They, if you go to certain websites, another pop-up will say, you know, we want to take a survey, or here's a free thing that you just won, or some will even say, you need a pop-up blocker. And they will actually try to prove their own point by being the annoyance that they're trying to persuade you to try to rectify.
Make you accept them mm-hmm. in order for them to go away.
Exactly.
And you're giving them permission to do something that you didn't really read the fine print.
Right. And generally speaking, most operating systems have pop-up blockers embedded in them, and so you don't really need another product to help you with them.
Right.
There are certain settings you can turn on to have pop-ups prevented.
You're listening to Technology for the Kingdom on WRCA in Boston, Massachusetts, 1330 AM. We're again speaking with Bill Mooney McCoy, director of SafeFamilies.org, a website that you definitely want to use. We're talking about cyber safety and keeping children safe online. From what we've discussed a little bit about content filters, what can we do with the human filtering mm-hmm. element? What are some of the responsibilities that parents have in the middle of all this, and as far as their children? Let's discuss that a little bit.
Well, one of the most important things is communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, just being in contact with your kids and talking to them, talking about the risks and letting them know that you're concerned and that you want to really be an ally instead of someone who's in an oppositional role.
Right.
One of the things we say that just a very practical thing is for children, the idea of having a computer in their own room is really at high risk.
Mm-hmm.
We suggest that, for example, for children and teens, laptops are really high risk because there's a lot of things they can do in the secrecy of their room that you wouldn't know about.
That's right.
And so we suggest that whatever computers they're using, they be in an open room
mm-hmm.
where the screen is facing a high traffic area
mm-hmm.
and that you can just be able to, as you're going by, just sort of take a peek and see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we really suggest is that you spend some time just getting to know what your kids are doing.
Right.
So sit with them, especially when they're younger, but even as they're teens, and say, look, let me see some of the websites you're looking at. Show me what you're, you know, so I can learn about what you're doing. And then also to introduce them to some websites and to sort of have it be a place of connection. On our webpage, we have some suggested places where there's some websites for kids on online safety.
Okay.
And we suggest you maybe take your, especially your younger children, and surf together and play some of the games and learn some of the things and start the dialogue around that. One other thing that we suggest is that you have certain rules. And we have on the website, again, for downloading if you want to,
mm-hmm.
just some general rules. It's basically a family contract and just some of the commitments that you as children and adults each are going to make around what you're going to do online and the things that you're going to hold to. And you post that. We suggest you post that at every computer. Have your children sign it. You sign it as an adult, and this is sort of an agreement of what we are going to do and what we are not going to do.
Hmm.
And you can feel free to edit it and create it something that's going to work for you, but we have just several of the guidelines that we've talked about in terms of what we suggest that you have your kids agree to, and so that you have a standard. And yep. So you have also the you can combat the I didn't know clause that young people yep. will suddenly come up with because they have their signature sitting right there.
Now, that's true. At our jobs, we sign those user agreement
right.
forms, terms of use policies, and
mm-hmm.
our jobs themselves are bound to those documents, and yet we don't use the same type of procedures even in our own houses. We,
right.
we get, here's a computer for you, here's that laptop for you, and then we just step away. So mm-hmm. like giving someone a ticking time bomb.
Right, or a loaded gun.
A loaded gun and saying, when you hear something go off, say, oh, gee, I didn't know. Or it's, mm-hmm. now you're doing that, putting the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff type of a scenario instead of doing some preventative maintenance at the top. Because mm-hmm. today it seems, since this is the culture of youth of using technology and becoming users, sometimes even more than creators, they get stuck as consumers, and and they're really not the upward. Every new gadget that comes out, and we don't really we feel technically challenged, and we don't want to whether it show our fear or our ignorance. So a lot of times, parents are afraid to really admit to their children that they don't know about this new software technology. So they just give over their power and their responsibilities, and don't become involved. It is important to become involved with the children.
Absolutely,
I know a scenario in my own house. As I said, I gave them computers ever since they were young, and my 15-year-old daughter, she tried to tell us that she admitted one time, "Dad, take the computer away. Go ahead and do it." And she really wasn't angry. As you know, I didn't hear that then as her saying to me, "I need your help."
Yeah.
And a year later, I had to take the computer away from her and change it to a scenario where, okay, you can only do your homework on the laptop and on the kitchen table.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it really seemed to make some type of a difference, because I think she really wanted to feel that somebody cared, that she was back in the mainstream of the family. Mm-hmm. She really hasn't complained about having to do the work there, just having to clean up her mess.
Yeah, sure. You know,
the papers all over, turning the kitchen into an office. But if that's the type of a sacrifice that we have to make to regain some type of a correct position in our family, then that's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they respond to that, because it might not be your children themselves that are the ones who are leading this, but they might be, as we know, victims of it.
Absolutely.
And with peer group pressure and, well, so-and-so is doing it, we really got to give them the tools and the support to stand their grounds.
Agreed. And it's we don't expect kids to have the discipline to not go into a liquor store and buy liquor. We make it illegal for them to do that. And the same, at least theoretically, with cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just have an honor system and expect them to not buy them. And so it should be somewhat similar with technology. As you're growing up, you're developing discipline, but children don't have the kind of discipline that's needed to say no. They shouldn't have to even say no.
Right, right. Because they don't, you know a lot of the details. We're much more mature than they are, and it's our responsibility to give them that value.
Absolutely.
You know, even as the word says, the older parents, the older mothers and fathers are responsible for teaching the children. And we can't abdicate our responsibility. The Lord is also going to hold us responsible for that. And so we need to do all those areas of our parenting responsibilities. Tell me a little bit. It's a big discussion on this issue of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. You know we. For years we've used to have our Social Security numbers on our driver's licenses.
Right. Right.
And then states said, okay, we'll give you an option to have a different number. I mean, they may now require they don't give you your Social Security number on your driver's license, and a lot of times we would pick up a telephone and freely speak, tell someone a Social Security number or other information, and even do things like purchase items online with a credit card and give an operator a Social Security number or a credit card number with an expiration date and a name and so forth. We will do that on a telephone without a fear.
Right.
But yet, when it comes to the internet and talking to a machine where you get to type something in, we really have a phobia. Can we speak to a little bit about what does it mean when your computer browser tells you I have a secure connection, or that little lock at the bottom is there and it's encrypted or whatever? What's that mean?
I don't know the exact technological details, but what it basically does is give some credibility to what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the URL, which is the thing at the top of the screen that tells you what website you're at, usually it should say HTTPS.
Yes.
And that S is basically saying it's a secure site.
Right.
And as you mentioned, you should see a lock in the lower right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is there are a lot of unscrupulous people who will make a copy of a website page, and it will look exactly like the actual bank or the credit card or the commercial site that you think you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And what they will do is then they'll gain your credit card information and be able to use that to do whatever they want to. That's actually called phishing, and that's spelled with a PH.
Right.
I'm not sure why they decided to spell it wrong, but they did. And there are a lot of sites that are, there are a lot of unscrupulous people who are basically mimicking PayPal, or they'll mimic eBay, right. or they'll mimic a yeah. bank, or they'll mimic Amazon, and ask for your information, your credit card information, your, even your PIN number.
Right.
And that's a key.
Yeah.
No one asks for your PIN number right. with a legitimate, no legitimate organization would ever ask for that. So if you ever see that, you know that someone's phishing for your data.
Right. Especially on the internet.
It's, right. It's not necessary.
No. It's because they know. And it's also bad. There are a lot of people that, and even seniors and just people who don't know, like that receive even that phone call. I'm your financial institution.
Right.
I want to verify your social security number and your PIN number. You owe us some money. And, you know, usually they don't call you up, you know, for that type of information.
No.
It's always, I like to say, well, you know, I'll call them or I'll call you
right.
when I need some service.
Right. And if you do receive something like that, either a phone call or an internet message, I'll call myself. And
right.
hang up, and then call the organization and see if there's a problem with your account.
That's right.
Chances are there isn't.
Right.
And that it was a scam.
Now, still in this issue of privacy, speak a little bit to how do we go about, and we spoke about the resources on the website and the information packets and the responsibility of parents. How across the board should we go about learning how to maintain our privacy on the internet? And I guess I'm trying to look at the proper way to phrase that. I know a lot we give kids these machines, maybe mm-hmm. put the content mm-hmm. blocker on it, and the first thing they do is run off and maybe go to MySpace or any other online community and set themselves up an account and you don't even know it. And they got their pictures on mm-hmm. there and all of this content. And, how do we educate them as to what's appropriate to give out and what's not appropriate when they're in this, and it must be tough, they're in this culture of wanting to do like everyone else is doing.
Yeah, certainly. It's a strange culture, too, because kids sort of feel like what they put in their MySpace, only their friends are going to see, and they sometimes forget that prospective employers will also see that, yeah. and anybody can have access to that information. Again, on our website, if you go into the Parents tab, we have a page which is guidelines for social networks like MySpace mm-hmm. and Black Planet and all those other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we have several suggestions. We have some suggestions for parents and we have suggestions for teens. One of the things we do suggest is that you not post personal information like your full name, your address, the school you go to, certainly things like your social security number or your date of birth. You don't want to put those things on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want people to be able to find that kind of personal information about you. The other thing is that we really suggest that teens tell their parents what their MySpace page is or their Black Planet page. The parents need to actually see what they're putting online. And if they're not interested in doing that, then they really shouldn't be going on to those social network sites.
And again, that really involves the parent using the computer themselves. And we just really can't take that role. Here's a computer in the house. Oh, I don't know how to use that. That's too complicated
right.
for me. I liken that to when telephones first came out.
That's right.
You can imagine someone in your apartment house had a telephone. So I don't need one of those things. Mm-hmm. And nowadays you wouldn't be caught without a telephone. You probably have a couple different ones.
One in your pocket.
One in your pocket. One in your car. One in your house. Not to mention laptops and other connection devices. You wouldn't think about being out of touch. And we'd like to place almost our lives in the hands of these communication devices. But yet, now nobody's going to go back to the day of a cup and a string.
That's right.
And we can't really put our heads in the sand and expect that this problem is going to go away.
And also just gives you an opportunity to bond with your kid. Let your child teach you.
Yep.
Let them show off. Let them show you what you've learned. I've been amazed at what my 13-year-old daughter knows.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I never taught her, she knows how to do. And
yeah.
it's a place where you can really connect and let them teach you.
Yeah, that's a... I wonder how you mentioned Google and the partnership that MySpace, the partnership that you're doing with them to help search the online communities. But what role might there be in even going to Google and searching for your child's name Do search engines like Google actually have a deep enough reach to maybe search pages of MySpace and come up with a find?
They would. If your child has posted their full name, it probably would find that.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to search for John. You might be getting a whole lot of...
That would be pretty exhausting.
You know, thousands and millions of responses. Yes. But it's important that we know how to use these tools. On this issue of privacy, you know, you've spoken about the resources on Safe Families,
mm-hmm.
And it really is pointed to the fact that we have some homework to do.
That's very true.
You know, I know at my place of employee, when a new employee comes in, they get orientations, and there's a lot to do with privacy and confidentiality, mm-hmm. and boundaries and HIPAA, the Health Care Portability Act, and,
right.
and just keeping your medical information and your health records private,
mm-hmm.
secure. And that's a whole nother word, secure. Wanting to grow up in this world and having some sense of security and you, being an individual and people not being able to clone you
mm-hmm.
because they have enough information about you to ruin your financial future and your education future and your credibility
right, yeah.
for the rest of your life. That's a very important point you made about, you know, as youth innocently, they may make these websites,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years later, they're trying to get a job, and someone's doing some research on them, and they're coming up with all of this information from the past, and you got to sit in the interview and be asked, well, what about this back
right,
then?
Right.
And you probably forgot about it, thinking it just went away, but
it doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away. There are buildings and buildings of data storage device that just keeps this information for years, and it's not going away.
That's right.
They're going to access that as far back into the past as they have these records for. You know, I was watching a documentary one time, and they were talking about all of the records that they kept, that NASA kept from space flights on these old big magnetic tape reels that those old computers used to use, and that they're so deteriorated now that they can't hardly even play them anymore. But nowadays, with the current technology, they can keep that information almost forever.
Yeah, with digital technology,
right,
it doesn't degrade.
Yeah, in a small amount of storage space. Speak a little bit. I know this is online safety, but it's all relevant to digital. We see, adults and children alike walking around with MP3 players strapped to their heads, looking and, you know, and listening to content that's stored on those. What should we be concerned at all, you think, about what they're listening to even on those devices or what they're using them for?
Absolutely. They can certainly have access to things that we may not approve of.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think the key is conversations and
mm-hmm.
communication.
Mm-hmm.
The degree to which there is an open dialogue is the degree to which you're going to be successful. Kids are going to sneak. That's mm-hmm. just the nature of it. And but the degree to which you really can instill your values and let them know what you believe in and really enforce that and instill that in them is the degree to which they'll make wise decisions.
Right. That's very important. Some other items that I want to discuss here, just to remind you, you're listening to Technology for the Kingdom right here with your host, Sydney Burton from Churchline.com. And our guest today is Bill Mooney McCoy, the director of Safe Families in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit their website, safefamilies.org, where you'll find information, detailed information, I must say, about a lot of the items that we're discussing. Now, I was really impressed with the amount of information that you have assembled. Really, you have a 8.5 by 11 a booklet here that's thick. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a fly-by-night website organization. They have put a lot of resources and time into coming up with content that really is here to help you. Tell me a little bit more about this manual. It says Online Safety and Media Sobriety Manual for Parents, Pastors, and Ministry Leaders. How have you found it with pastors and ministry leaders utilizing the resources of your organization? Is it a little bit, is that a challenge, or is that something that they've really embraced?
It is a challenge. Part of the challenge is just getting to them and letting them know this resource is available. I think that there is somewhat of a digital divide, especially generationally.
Yes.
And there tends to be a fear or a phobia about technology. And so our desire has been to really present ourselves as a resource, to serve the religious community, particularly in at-risk communities, Latino and Black communities, communities that are under-resourced. And so when we've finally gotten in front of folks, they've been very enthusiastic and very excited about it. Basically, Safe Families, we're looking at serving four groups right now.
Mm-hmm.
First, we're really looking to serve parents and caretakers of children. And so we have resources that are geared toward the home. They're geared toward little Johnny and not so little Jenny, and how to help keep your children in an environment where they are not overly sexualized and overly exposed to dangers. We are also trying to help organizations like church groups that have community centers or organizations that have a lot of kids coming in and out, and we have resources for those nonprofits on how to keep kids safe, how to keep your community center as a place that is consistent with your values. And so we have resources for nonprofits. We also have resources for pastors, not only to help them inform the parents in their churches, but also to deal with this whole plague of pornography addiction that is just sweeping our adult community. So we're also really trying to reach pastors and other religious leaders, and not only to help them disseminate the information to parents, but also to deal with this whole plague of pornography addiction that is sweeping our congregations with adults and teenagers. And we find that a lot of pastors don't know what to do about this problem, how they can help their congregants when someone walks in their office and say, "Pastor, I have a problem," or a spouse walks in and says, "I found my husband doing such and such." So we really, really want to target pastors and help them to know how to help people with that. And then finally, we're looking at the individuals who may be struggling with pornography addiction.
Yep.
And we found that the numbers are staggering of people who are dealing with this type of problem. Not just men, but even women are also struggling with this issue. And so we are providing resources for someone who may be really wanting to get free of this addiction, and or the spouse or the family members who are struggling with someone who's got this problem. So on our website, we have a lot of things about recovery, a lot of things about the nature of pornography addiction and other sexual addiction, and how the process of healing happens. So those are the four target areas that we have at Safe Families.
That's strong. I see one item looking at your table of contents in your manual, and there's a line here for church bulletin inserts. Now, do you actually provide church bulletin inserts for churches as far as printed, or is this a page that they can download from your site and they can print out and put in their bulletins?
That's right.
That's great.
So we're just trying to provide anything we can for churches and to give them the tools that they need. We have several suggestions on our website of how they can have a recovery-friendly community at a church. So we have several suggestions for creating an environment where the church is dealing with this issue.
Yes.
We've called this the elephant in the pew because really it's been kind of ignored.
Yes.
And particularly in the urban churches, I think all the issues around sexuality have been kind of understated.
Yes.
So much so that when I looked at the Black Church page, which is another wonderful website, they actually had a topic called Things We Don't Talk About.
Yeah.
And we've been kind of playing the ostrich on this and sort of not wanting to deal with it directly. So we are trying to help pastors to know how to talk about this directly and to be able to bring this issue to the fore instead of trying to dodge and duck around it.
That's interesting. I mean, I like the picture about, it's a picture that we should be involved in if we're involved in ministry, making a safe recovery environment for people. I remember, and I always say this, there was a sermon title that I heard years ago that was called The Holy Ghost Hospital. And we tend to forget that a church is a hospital. I mean, Jesus came for those who needed a doctor and a physician. And sometimes we come in, we get halfway well, and that condition to be well is a big word now, to wellness. And we forget, and we don't want to be around sick people anymore.
That's right.
We forget that, okay, if God has blessed us to have a fair measure of health and strength, that we should begin to be orderlies and doctors and nurses, and there's a whole hospital that needs staffing. And when we're looking for people to be involved in ministries, it seems like people run away and say, well, I got what I needed. Thank right. you. They act like the church is an outpatient clinic right. exclusively. It's any type of an environment for reaching those who need a healing and need recovery and need to be in safety. And we can't ignore these problems. And these are areas, that's be an interesting article I'd like to look at. You said the things we don't talk about.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one, the elephant in the pew.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about that on the website. I mean, the bottom line is we're all broken. We're all healing. Mm-hmm. None of us are done. And a lot of things that keep people from really addressing this issue are things like shame. Because they feel like they'll be judged or ostracized. And so we are trying to help pastors create a community where people will be able to come forward and say, you know what, I have this problem, or I have a struggle and I need some help.
So you want to give pastors, you give pastors the tools to really address some of these problems. But pastors, you need to engage this process. It is more work.
It is more.
It is more, but it's, if you're the doctors in the churches that are really trying to see to providing people some type of a spiritual healing by leading them to the Lord, we can't take the people halfway.
That's right.
And be not equipped to handle all of the problems that they're going to be faced with. Now, granted, no one person has an answer to everything except Jesus, but we have Christ gives us different parts of the body that do have different strengths. And we need to identify. Maybe
Absolutely.
It might be a youth pastor. Might not be a youth pastor. It might be a person with that gift to minister and make it relevant, the importance of some of these issues that you could identify in your church. There's not only these issues related to sexuality and technology, safety. It's just that whole issue about really empowering people to be well.
That's right.
And providing them that safe environment.
Well, just as we said earlier, that parents no longer can say that, well, I don't know technology and I'm not going to learn, that's not an excusable option for parents. We would say that for church leaders, for pastors and people in ministry, it's not an acceptable option to say, well, I'm not going to learn about this pornography problem. I just don't have time to understand it. We need to be up to speed on that. But as you mentioned, not everybody's going to be completely equipped to do everything.
Right.
And there are people whose ministry is to actually help people with this problem. That's part of what I do and part of what we do with Safe Families. And actually on our website, we have a whole list of resources. We have a list of groups that can help, peer groups that can help people who are struggling. We have a list of referral for counselors. And we actually have a list of Boston-based counselors that you can go ahead and look up. We have several different media and book resources that can help provide more information. We really want to be able to equip people who need the help to get the help. And at this point, we've made that available for free.
Is Safe Families the only ministry of its type in this country? I say in this country, I won't say on the internet. Are you partnering with other organizations that have a similar type of a focus?
Well, we are the only organization that we know about that is addressing the issue of online safety and media sobriety, but targeting an urban community, targeting a non-white community. There are some wonderful groups that are dealing with the same issue, but their audience is sort of more generic, middle America. And we work together. We share material in our manual. We've gotten permission to copy several articles from some of our partners. We pray with our partners and are definitely in community with them. But our audience and our target is different. Not that we won't help somebody from a resource community. We certainly wouldn't turn them away.
Right.
But we are really feeling like we need to go to the people who are the most overlooked.
Yes, that's a lot of times the tough call when we become saved and we're Christians. And some of us challenge us with that question, well, you can't go into a bar room or a lounge because there's certain things being served there. And the reply might be, well, that's where the people that need the help are.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, but that would require that we be secure and strong enough ourselves to remain focused on what the mission is, and to know our own limitations and weaknesses and be honest with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, a lot of times you go to an AA meeting or something, and a person might stand up and say, "I'm an alcoholic."
Yes.
And I've been sober for so many days.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at Christians, it's very seldom we stand up and say, "I am a sinner.
Yes.
I've been saved by grace."
Right.
And that would open up a whole new dialogue to really allow us to talk about our healing process. But mm-hmm. that first step is to really admit that there is a problem.
Yes.
Whether it's with, and we need to admit that there's a problem, because we none of us have all of the T's crossed and the I's dotted when it comes to all of these different levels and sections that we're speaking about here today. There's more I know I need to do as a father mm-hmm. in my house with 2-3 daughters. There's more that my wife has to do as a mother in the house with 3 daughters. There's more that we have to do as a husband and wife,
sure.
to talk together so that we can make sure that either one of us aren't ignoring certain realities that the other one might be engaged in that really is not helping to edify our marriage or our communications or our communications with our children or their communications with us.
Yeah.
It requires that transparency. And the web has come, the internet has come to really allow us, sirens in the background, the internet has come to really allow us a way to escape our responsibilities.
Right.
And we cannot escape our responsibilities. As even this show, we endeavor to try and discuss various aspects and areas of technology. There's no one answer to everything. It really is a field where you require many different areas of specialty. And part of the reason for this show is that we really need to pay attention to how we use it in our house, how we use it safely, how we use it in our businesses, and we need to empower ourselves. And Safe Families is one of those ministries that's really, to me, I see making a difference.
We're trying.
You're trying, and you are making a difference. And I want all of you listening to this program to really visit this website, safefamilies.org. You can't forget it. We want to keep our families safe. And that is the place to go. I've been there. I've visited their resources. They're incredible. How thick is this manual? How many pages when you print it out?
Well, we have actually 4 different versions, one for parents, one for nonprofits, one for pastors, and one for people in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually have a full manual, which includes all those sections. The full manual is up to 60 pages now.
That's great. And you can get this for, how much does it cost?
It's free.
Free?
You can download it. You can edit it. You can pass it out. You can distribute it. You can do anything you need to. We want to make this open source and available for anybody who wants help and wants to learn something about that. I want to go back to something you said earlier about just the importance of making sure that you're on the right track yourself,
right?
So that you can then empower others.
That's right.
One of the things that we suggest, we mentioned internet filtering for children.
Mm-hmm.
We suggest for adults, especially if you're having a struggle with the websites you've been visiting, something called monitoring software.
Okay.
And we have actually on our website, again, if you go to our homepage,
mm-hmm.
you'll see a link for internet monitoring software.
Mm-hmm.
Filtering says you can't do this. Monitoring software says you can do anything you want, but I'm going to tell.
Ooh.
And so monitoring software will actually track what you do and where you go, and then it will tell somebody who you've designated by email.
Oh, that's scary.
It is very, very challenging, and it will show where you've been and what you've been doing. I use it myself, and it's a very powerful tool of just sort of enabled me to say in that moment of ambiguous, sort of sitting on the slippery slope, well, I really don't want to be embarrassed.
Mm.
I don't want Joe to know what I've done. And so we suggest that any adult put up what they call monitoring software in their computer. And there's a couple we suggest. One is XXX3 Watch, which is, I think it's x3watch.com, and that's a free product that you can download. And you just designate who you want to have your accountability partners.
Mm-hmm.
We strongly suggest it not be your spouse. That can just really go into some very difficult territory. And your spouse is not supposed to be that Right. That's just really an inappropriate boundary. Mm. We suggest it be someone who's either a peer or someone like a pastor or a mentor. The other product is called Covenant Eyes. That's the one I use. Mm-hmm. And Covenant Eyes has given us a great discount. If you go through our website, you'll get a $2 a month discount off. And I believe it'll be something like $5 a month.
So it's a subscription service.
Yeah, it is a subscription service. Mm-hmm. They're partners with us. They are really been very supportive of what we're doing, and we really believe in what they do. And what it does is every week, my accountability partner will get a report of where I've been, what I've done, when I did it, how long I did it, and will red flag anything that looked questionable. Oh. So if I went to Playboy.com, it'll be in bold red letters. Ooh. And my partner will be able to call and Bill Tuesday morning at 2 a.m. What were you doing?
Yes.
And we will have a very interesting conversation about that.
Yes, yes.
So I really suggest that that's one way of really helping to keep yourself so that you're not feeling like a hypocrite when you try to talk to your kids about it.
Yeah, yeah. This is true, because we really can't, you know, and it's the youth and those who are saved and even those in the church are just looking. When you look at man, you're just looking for the mistakes that we make, and we are human, and when sin is saved by grace.
That's right.
And that's not an excuse. Mm-hmm. That's an admission of a position that we really need to take some as this off. It's about some accountability. Now, that was interesting to me. Can you actually do things like put an internet address in there so that even if it's an innocent one, for instance, if I wanted to put into it like anytime I visited Google, mm-hmm. as an example, could it tell my accountability partner? Or is it only, so that could be even as I could put in on my children's computer, MySpace.
Sure.
So anytime it went to MySpace, mm-hmm. I would know it.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to mention that most internet filtering programs have the ability to let you see the history of where they've been. Mm-hmm. Most of the products out there will let you review what they've done.
Right.
So you don't even have to do that. If you have an internet filter, generally speaking, you can get access to where they've been, what they've been doing.
Now, tell me a little bit, since we know we're dealing with some technically savvy children, what are the dangers, or how concerned should we be about they being able to deactivate or defeat or erase their histories, for instance, mm-hmm. without, I'm going to say giving away the store, because I know a lot of them know if they want to do it, they know how to do it. But are some of these programs that you're talking about lockable, where we set them up, only we can administrate them?
Each program is different. Each program has different levels of security. Mm-hmm. But most programs do have our password protected.
Okay.
And obviously be very foolish to let your children know what the passwords are to reset the settings. But you're absolutely right that it can be a battle. And if you're in a situation where your child is out trying to outfox you, mm-hmm. the bigger issue is trust.
Right.
And just the need to have that conversation and to establish sort of a sense of we're on the same team.
Yeah.
That's really difficult, because adolescence by nature is rebellious.
Yeah.
And we know that. But in terms of the technological thing, the kids are going to win at this point if it's just about that. Mm. But most products do have the ability to be password protected. And if you want to go with the accountability software, the nice thing about that is it will tell your partner that you deactivated it. So that they would say, well, why did you do that? What was going on there? So there still are some tools that you can use.
I'm looking at the book here. I'm going to rustle some pages in the background. This item on the Family Internet Safety Pledge.
That's the one I mentioned, which is the one that you would post at your computer and have your children sign. And it's got certain rules of what I will do and what I won't do. And it can be used for any family. And you're free to edit it and add whatever you think might be needed to personalize it.
As we get near the end of the program, and again, I want to say I'm speaking with Bill Mooney McCoy from SafeFamilies.org. Please visit their website. I'm your host, Sidney Burton, publisher of Churchline.com. Visit our website. We have a link also to Safe Families and TechMission.org. I'm going to pass this book to Bill so he can read some of these, because so you won't just be hearing my voice. And we just want to just go down some of these pointers online. You can download these, but we want to give you an idea as we wrap up some of the things that we're talking about.
So some of the things that we include in the pledge is that, and this is spoken from the child's point of view, mm-hmm. that I won't download, copy, or look at any questionable material. And we ask kids that if they aren't sure, that they talk to their parents about it so that they will know mm-hmm. what that boundary is and what you as parents consider acceptable standards.
Yes.
We ask kids to not give out personal information, mm-hmm. like their real name, address, age, phone number, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We also tell them it's very important not to agree to meet anyone in person. And this is very important in terms of the whole issue with predators.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times kids don't think anything about meeting someone they've met online because they feel like they've really met them and they know mm-hmm. who they are.
Right.
And you don't know who the strangers that you've met online are.
That's right.
It's very strange to have friends that you don't know. That's a very surreal concept.
And the first things kids say when they meet anybody is, this is my friend.
Right.
The understanding of friendship is not tested and proven.
And predators are professional friend creators, mm-hmm. and they have spent lots of energy learning how to groom kids and to make them feel that they're safe and understood by them.
Mm-hmm.
So we tell kids not to meet anybody in real life that they've met online.
Mm-hmm.
We tell them to be as courteous as they would be in real life, not to use any kind of language that they wouldn't use face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
and to not say things about each other online that they wouldn't say directly in a personal context.
Right.
And to follow whatever the parents' guidelines are in terms of when and where to use the computer,
yep.
how long and what to do on it.
Parents' guidelines.
Yep. And to also not use the computer to do anything illegal or immoral.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the whole file-sharing community brings up a whole other layer of...
We're going to do a whole other program on that.
Yeah, and there's obviously some issues around that.
Right.
And to realize also whatever rules that have been established in the home apply at the library or at school or at my friend's house
mm-hmm.
or even on my mobile phone.
That's right.
That this is a pledge that you're making in terms of your whole online experience.
Not just where they see that piece of paper hanging
right.
on the side of their computer.
Right, and the privacy of their own home.
Right.
So those are some of the guidelines that we suggest on the Internet Safety Pledge.
That sounds good. So I'm going to suggest that you go and download this online Internet Safety Pledge. I'm really going to ask pastors and lay people alike, people in recovery and youth and adults, to really visit this website, look at these resources that you have from safefamilies.org. You will find a wealth of information and education that is well worth it. You don't have to pay for this one. Just when you come home and you sit on your computer and you're saying, oh, gee, where should I go now? Maybe make that sacrifice, make that commitment to yourself. Do yourself a favor and go to safefamilies.org and visit it. Go through the pages, look at the resources. I don't think you'll be able to put it down. You have no excuses. The boundary, the veil has been lifted. Bill has helped us lift this veil on internet safety, keeping your children and your family and yourself safe online. So we're going to just ask that you do this.
And please feel free also to email us at info@safefamilies.org if you have feedback. We'd love to hear from you and know what works for you. If you have questions, you know, we just want to be here to serve the community.
All right. Well, that sounds good, Bill. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come by and spend this time on technology for the kingdom. And we just want to pray the best for you and your family and for your organization. One thing you didn't give us, I don't think, the telephone number. Give us that telephone number for those who still want to use that method of contact.
Certainly. It is 617-282-9798, extension 104. Again, 617-282-9798, extension 104. And the email address again is info@safefamilies.org.
We want to thank you, Bill, and thank you for taking this time to be with us today.
It's been a pleasure, Sydney.
All right, God bless you.
Hey, Daddy, how come you're always on that computer? You don't know how to use it.
Yes, I do. See? www.churchline.com.
Hey, that's the website I go to all the time.
What do you know about churchline.com?
It's an online Bible study source for me.
Really? You finally took my advice?
You can say that. I can find general information about what's going on in and around my church community.
Yeah, I really love the A-Word devotionals they send, and I can even add information to the online church calendar.
Dad, have you ever used their advertising and business directory services?
Yes, and my phone did ring.
There goes a call now.
I gotta go. Hello, churchline.com. Can I help you?
This program has been brought to you by www.churchline.com.
Your online church connection.